Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Greetings.
My thing won't work. Stop messing with it.
Okay. Well, we are here again. Prophecy news on a Wednesday. Actually, we changed it to advocacy, faith, and the gospel news. Telling you about the persecuted church. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Greetings and welcome to Remnant Battle Lines Prophecy News Hour with the Watchman and Tower. Here is a clue to tonight's show. Myanmar Gospel, Miraculous Survival, Vietnam Showdown, Darfur Christians, Anti-Christian Persecution, and more on Warn Radio Christian Advocacy. Around the world, it is hard to keep ongoing persecution quiet. All over the world, as hostile regimes persecute Christians, close churches, and imprison or kill Christian leaders, we know about it. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Wednesday, the 24th day of October, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through chapter 22, verse 24, 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 27, and the New Testament portion is Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through chapter 7, verse 29, and 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 11. Go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com to listen to their latest radio shows and also read the featured posts by The Watchman. The featured post this week is Action Prophecy Shaking Nations. The shaking of nations, men, and nations with their own agendas. From a movement of rebellion to seduce the world, it is the action prophecy shaking nation which will be the final word on all things. So go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or Get Healthy Young Living, where you can read the articles by The Watchman and listen to the latest radio programs. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio and also on Twitter at #WatchmanIS216, #WarnRadio, or #WGS_Watchman. Now I welcome in the Watchman for our Prophecy News Hour, latest news, articles, and information concerning the days in which we live. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Well, I'm glad you got that spewed out.
Good grief. Well, this little thing wasn't working in here.
Yeah, all that technology. It's called, it's usually user.
No.
It's not user friendly. But at any rate, we got it out. You know? So if you're expecting, you know, I don't know, some of the other shows, you know, we're homespun. We do work, and my help, they're good, they're serious.
not that good.
But they are cheap.
Yes, sirree.
Yeah, even I'm cheap. Yep.
Well, okay, we only have an hour and we got a lot to talk about, dude.
Well, we do, so. At any rate, doesn't mean we can't say hi.
Hi.
Well, at any rate, the world's still a mess, and Democrats are in charge, along with the Republicans, along with all the other, you know.
Well, I can't believe how hateful and crazy and demonic and it's all bizarre, this stuff going on in the world today. It's just unbelievable. I just hate it.
Well, at any rate, the Democrats being behind in everything, they decided to send themselves a bunch of packages and blame the Republicans. So they sent them to Soros and Hillary and Clinton and everybody else. And so they're all whining about it. All the news is carrying it. But it's really funny that when you talk about all that, somebody sent a bunch of packages containing white powder to the Trump family.
Nobody said anything. Nobody reported on it.
Nobody reported. Nobody said anything. Except for a few. But the liberal, they didn't touch it. The liberals really don't care, you know. As long as something happens on their agenda that concerns themselves, that happens to their own people, then they get all excited. But of course, in this case, it was suggested by the health ranger covering some stuff that this was a false flag event. Of course, that falls under the line of, you know, some of this other kind of news that Facebook and others don't like. But, you know, the bottom line of it is that the Democrats have proven that they will stoop to anything in order to win, including telling all the illegals they can vote, California coming out telling the illegals they can vote. And while we cover the persecuted church and we want to see people helped, we do not advocate every persecuted person in the world move to America. And as is pointed out by the Syrian Christians themselves, who are on record and quoted as saying, we do not want to come to Europe or any other country to live. We want to live in our own country. We're Syrians. We want to go back home. And so the secret here is we need to make sure that these people get back to their nations, back to their countries, and live peaceably and happy and safely. That's where these people want to be.
Yeah, and I hope they can get there.
And when you have some liberal, far-left, socialist groups leading tens of thousands of Hondurans and others to America, you know it's a setup. And you know behind it is George Soros and some of the Democrats and some big, fat money out of Hollywood. Yeah. Somebody somewhere is doing this, and they're doing it to get it to come here right at voting. And this thing with all the packages, it didn't happen months ago. It happened just before election. And all of this tells you the timing is perfect in order to get you to notice the Democrats, that they're poor, they're oppressed, it's all their, you know, they're trying to struggle for the truth, and the big bad Republicans are the ones that's causing the trouble. But if you look at the truth, you find out that, in fact, it is Waters and Hillary and a lot of others who were calling on violence against Republicans. So, you know, the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket. We have Christians being persecuted all over the place. And you would think that Democrats and Republicans can get along. You would think that we would be civil in America because we're supposed to be the leaders. But when you look at how we have nothing but a bunch of idiots out there in this country and morons on social feeds and nobody wants to get along and nobody wants to be civil, and you have Hollywood elitists putting out their money for garbage, you have Rosie O'Donnell losing her lunch and her cookies because she can't stand Trump, it is time divide the nation in half, put the Democrats over on the right side and the Republicans on the left side, or wherever you want to stick them, put a big valley in between, give them both nuclear weapons, and they can blow each other to hell. Meanwhile, I'm going to be on the far side of the moon, because, you know, after all, if it's good enough for aliens, it should be good enough for disgruntled human beings that can't seem to live on Earth, because we're supposed to be the higher species, but God forbid, thank God we're not like the aliens who can fly around and have all kinds of weaponry. If we had that, we would have blown ourselves up long time ago. That's probably why these things never land here. They say, good grief, I'm not going to land there. Look at these people. They do well enough alone. If we leave them alone for 100 years, they're going to blow each other up. That's what it looks like. Good riddance to you and your uncivility and your bull. And if the Democrats get a few packages and if it gets sent all the way around, well, you know, you people are really reaping what you've been sowing. All of you. Shame on you. Every one of you. You stink. Now, I am going to cover the persecuted church. And you do whatever you want to do. But I'm going to cover what's important in the world besides all this division and baloney that is going on in this country. It makes me ashamed of you. Good riddance. Have fun. C'est la vie. Okay. Myanmar. Now, you know, this is absolutely ludicrous. Barnabas Aid come out with this. It's not ludicrous that Barnabas Aid covered it. They're covering it because it is crazy. Pastors were detained by an armed group in Myanmar's Shan state. And Myanmar is, they truly hate Christians. And in this case, you know, I mean, you can't even breathe Christianity. You can't have a Bible. You can't have a church. You can't do anything in your home. You can't pray. Or so they think.
That's really tragic that they're like that.
Well, 100 pastors were released on the condition they sign a document stating they would only pray in private homes and not in church. And the 7 pastors who refused are still being held prisoner. Of course, they've been taught that, and, you know, the church is what it's all about, not understanding that the church are the people themselves, and you can have church in home or under a tree or by a stream.
Right.
And a lot of this misunderstanding comes from the westernized evangelization of all these groups, because in America, we're the same way. The church is not the bricks and the stones and the man-made baloney, because they're about as divided as the Republicans and the Democrats are. Now, we're starting to get a little better now that everything in America is so topsy-turvy and screwed. But, you know, it takes a lot of fire to get some of these lukewarm Christians alive over here. You'd think some of them are dead sitting there in their pews every Sunday, but they're really alive. They've learned to hibernate like trees. So when their sap goes south for the winter, they're still in the, you know, in the church waiting for the sap to get them up. And, well, with the Holy Spirit in the fire, they're going to get their sap cooked all right, and they're going to get woken up real quick. Well, meanwhile, we've got these pastors over in Myanmar being told by a bunch of knuckleheads, you can't pray in church. Well, you know, I mean, that's really something. We ought to tell some of the American churches, you can't pray in your church. They don't pray in their church anyway. And when they do, it's self-centered. Now, not all of them are like that, but it's really something. You know, we'll let you out of jail just as long as you people won't pray in church. I'd raise my hand and say, I agree. They shouldn't pray in church at all. Matter of fact, shut all the churches down. And then y'all go in your private homes, get in your caves, get by a stream, go fishing, go hunting, and while you're there, pray to the Lord God. Because after all, Paul and Silas was in prison praying and singing to God Almighty when the earthquake happened and all hell broke loose in that jail cell and they stayed there. The jailer was about ready to kill himself when Paul cried out, don't do yourself any harm, we're still here, led the jailer and his family to the Lord. So, hey, you know, try something new. Read the Acts of the Apostles, or as we say, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, and apply some of that, because sometimes Paul and the boys were traveling around the Roman Empire, and there was no churches around because the Christians didn't have the money to build all this fancy stuff we got in America. After all, we're advanced, you see. We got all this money, and we are all so righteous. We're so righteous in this country that we want to be uncivil to each other in politics and hate each other and even beat each other up, and well, that's just the beginning. So after all, thank God the rest of the world doesn't take after our brand of Christianity and our brand of Americanization in this country, because lately, in the last 10 years, it's beginning to stink like a dead, rotten corpse. Now, you might think I'm just a little bit overstated here, and Tower might think I'm been brewing too much fermented tea over here. But to tell you the truth, I've had a long time this afternoon to meditate and to pray and seek the Lord. And, you know, I decided to write another book again. Because when you go through it all, and you look at everything, and you see all the revivals we have, and all the work that Billy Graham did. God bless Billy Graham. He's with the Lord now. But all the people that signed the little thing saying, we accept the Lord, and he preached everywhere, because I remember him. But you look today.
Where are they?
Yeah, where's the fruits? Maybe we ought to look in Myanmar, because they're being thrown in prison. And they're, you got 100 pastors here in a country that's hostile to Christians. They actually found 100 pastors in just one part of it.
Wow. That's now, incredible.
Not to mention, 7 of them said, we are not going to stop praying in church.
Good for them.
Yes, thank God there's people. Okay, American churches, you can't pray in your churches anymore. You're going to be thrown in prison. You're going to be persecuted and stay there for the rest of your life. How many of you say, well, but you got to hand it to these guys. I mean, around the world, when we talk about faith, when we talk about miracles, you know, we do hear people telling us there's miracles here in America going on. And I'm assured by various voices out there and people I've talked to, there are miracles happening in America. Okay, that's good. Why don't you start with Washington? Why don't you start with the Democrats and the Republicans and Hollywood? But Hollywood has been full of pimps and whores ever since our great-great-granddaddies and everything, because after all, well, my family, for instance, came out of California, and when I questioned my dad about it, he said, they're crazier than I'll get out when I left. That's why I left. Well, he's passed on to be with the Lord now, and I look at California, and I thank God my daddy left that state. Because you got nothing but a bunch of neocon leftists over there, socialist commies that are running that country into the ground, and they think it'll never go down. Well, at any rate, so the United Wasp State Army is in control of this region. And they're breaking away from Myanmar, the rest of it. Of course, you find a lot of this. You have these things. And so in September, this army also shut down a Bible school and forced some 41 Christian students to become military porters, who are sometimes worked to death because of the heavy loads they're compelled to carry. So they've become slaves in this country. That's what happens to the Christians in some of these nations.
That's horrible.
It is horrible. And so we want you to pray. If you remember how to pray, if you really care about your brothers and sisters out there, don't worry about America, because this nation is either going to rise or it's going to fall, one way or the other. Now, I can tell you the truth here. the rest of the world and the Christians and the others that are being persecuted do not want this nation to fall. And there's a big reason, not because of all the free money we give out, but I got news for you. We do have Christian organizations in this country that spend a lot of money helping out other people around the world, including Christians, many times Christians, and work to set them free. The ACLJ, Samaritan's Purse, CBN, and many others. And that's not even talking about the Assemblies of God mission nor individual churches that help out. What I'm trying to do is to provoke you to wake up. Wake up about America. Wake up about the political situation here. Wake up about what's happening around the world so we can keep this country going. Because if this country, as the Bible said, a house divided against itself will not stand, you'll find that in Mark. You'll find it in Luke, and Matthew, I believe. So a house divided against itself will not stand. And if America cannot stand, that means Samaritan's Purse is going to have a hard time standing and helping all the people they help. Same way with ACLJ, who has worked to free Pastor Brunson, who is working to see Sia Bibi released, and many other things, as well as working on laws and fighting the deep state in America. We have CBN, who sends out entire teams of doctors and others around the world. I don't watch TBN, but I'm sure they do some stuff too. And there's lots of others that we discuss and talk about. International Christian Concern, Persecution.com, and many others all work. Now, if America goes down because we're too proudful, too stubborn, you ain't going to help nobody. Nobody. Now let me ask you socialists who are coming up here, and you socialists like the one that was recently voted in New York, and of course socialist California, how many ministries do you have in Venezuela and these other socialist countries, and how many of these are multi-million dollar ministries working and sending out millions of dollars in aid around the world to alleviate the suffering of mankind? Huh? How many? And you have the gall to send, what, 20,000 people up here to flood the borders right at voting time? Do you care about your own people? No, this is all political. You could care less. And Jorge Ramos, you're full of baloney. Go back to Mexico and jump in a jail cell. Or wherever you're from. But Mexico's good enough. You see, it's time to wake up out there. But, you know, the bottom line of it is that if I had a voice to tell everybody in America what I'm telling you today, it wouldn't do any good at all. It would just be all over the news, and people would just write every kind of story telling you how crazy I am. Well, yeah, I could be called crazy because I believe in an entity which you cannot see. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, who fills his believers with the Holy Spirit, who judges nations and is coming back as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So if you want a God you can see, you're going to be up to crick if you're a Christian, because right now we cannot see him, but we can see his works. We're guaranteed that His spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the child of God. We are required by faith. But yet in the midst of all this, we are seeing, and as we report around the world, we have given you miracle after miracle after miracle of the Lord through his spirit working in the earth, and people, Muslims, Hindus, and others who see him and his miracles come to him. And we're seeing that all over the place. So you decide. Go ahead, Tower.
Well, I was just going to say thank God that we see the miracles and we know that he's still on the throne and still giving life.
Now, you know, we're going to change pace here, and I'm going to give you a break from me. And really, you know, that's a good thing, because you can't handle me today. But you should be able to handle this. So sit back for a moment and listen as Tower reads this and goes through this. Okay, Tower.
Okay, I love this, and it's amazing. It's a wonderful testimony to the Lord God. This, it's been close to 20 years ago, and 12-year-old Sophie, her name's been changed, and her brothers all arrived home from school accompanied by their neighbor. They were seriously ill. The neighbor found them vomiting uncontrollably shortly after getting off the bus. When the youngest boy fainted, the neighbor picked him up and helped the three youngsters find their way back home. And then they were rushed to the hospital. Testing showed that they had deadly poison in their saliva, so doctors administered a proper antidote immediately. And two or three minutes, the parents were informed that if they would have waited two or three minutes, there would have been no hope for any of the children. And the family later discovered that as the children had gotten on the public bus packed with other travelers and students, a middle-aged woman had smiled at them and called them by name. She invited Sophie to sit by her as the boys stood nearby. Friendly and kind, she explained she was a prayer partner with the same ministry their father served as a leader in. She chatted away, asking how the rest of the family were, and as the children prepared to get off, she offered them chocolates as a token of her love, unwrapping them herself and putting them in their mouths. Loving chocolate as much as any kids do, they happily gobbled them up. But immediately, on descending the steps of the bus, the younger boy began vomiting, then the older, then Sophie. Undigested chocolate spewing everywhere. Their concerned neighbor happened by about this time, and relatives and friends of the family began searching all over for the woman who provided the chocolates, but they couldn't find any clues. And the next day, Sophie's condition grew far worse. She could no longer breathe properly, and much as she tried, she couldn't get any words out. And then her memory began failing, and the doctors were worried that the poisons had affected both her lungs and her brain. Fortunately, the boys began to slowly recover. And as Sophie's condition deteriorated, she fell into a coma. And her family and many church members knelt tearfully before the Lord, claiming God's promises and asking Him for a miracle. And about 30 hours later, those still praying around her bed noticed her face suddenly become remarkably bright. With eyes still closed, a joyful smile spread across her face. She suddenly raised her hands into the air as if trying to catch something. Everyone thought she must be on her way from this world and cried out in sorrow. Her parents completely lost it. Doctors and nurses on duty hurried into the room, and just as a doctor reached out to check her pulse, Sophie rose from her bed, her hands still upraised. It was as if she were holding on to something in space before her. "Jesus, Abba, Jesus, Abba, Father," she began calling out in her native language. She then opened her eyes, gazed at her hands in amazement, looked back in front of her, and then pointing to a particular spot, cried out, "There is my Father, Jesus." Her mother reached out to hold her and called her by name, and Sophie immediately recognized everyone, and she realized she was in the hospital. And she also declared she was hungry. The doctors checked her over thoroughly and advised her parents to feed her something light. Since she had a slight temperature, he also gave her a tablet to bring the fever down. And before she went to bed that night, she and her families joyfully praised the Lord together. Sophie seemed imbued with new power in prayer and praise. Excuse me. Now, unbeknownst to the family and medical staff, a fellow named Rashid, and his name has also been changed to protect him, had appeared in the hallway with two other men and had been closely watching the goings-on in Sophie's room. They had come up from the hospital parking area where, posing as ambulance attendants, they had been observing from the outside. Rashid also happened to be in command of a group of militant fanatics seeking to convert everyone to Islam and eventually bring the whole world under Islamic domination. The plan to have the children given poison chocolates had been hatched by his group. They were certain the children would die, or at least the girl Sophie. The next part of their plot entailed carrying away the child's dead body along with her family in the ambulance and then kill the rest of the family. But as Rashid and his men kept visual, he witnessed an intensely bright sphere of light flash down from above and then hover over where Sophie lay unconscious. He saw a hand come out from the orb, touched the leader's daughter, and then watched her regain consciousness and stand. He could barely contain himself when he saw blood flowing from a hole in the middle of the hand. He trembled with fear, felt woozy, and fell to the floor. The men with him picked him up and scurried away awkwardly with him. Rashid completely lost whatever peace he had. Disturbing dreams ruined his sleep, and he grew convinced Jesus must be after him. Feeling unbearably burdened, he managed to locate Pastor Paul, director of Bibles for Mideast, and confessed everything. Yet instead of being turned into the police, as Rashid expected, he was embraced with tears. He began to read the Christian Bible he had kept on hand simply to criticize and disprove Christianity, and found now he could hear Jesus clearly in the words. He readily accepted him as his Savior and Lord. Isn't that exciting? And now Sophie is married with two youngsters, and she works as a school teacher and on the side a Bible teacher. Many of the young people she teaches scripture to, albeit secretly, are Hindus and Muslims who do eventually find the truth in Jesus. That's an amazing story. The devil was trying to take her out because she had a work for God, and he saved her and many others. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, and the other thing of it is, Rashid now is an ordained pastor with Bibles for the Mideast. And he works alongside his wife and children, establishing house churches across the Middle East.
Thank God. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's a type of the Apostle Paul experience, except Paul fell off a horse, and this guy just fell in the, in the hallway of the hospital.
Yeah.
You know? And so, this is what it's all about.
That's,
you know,
right, amen.
And this is motivated by love and faith. And you're not going to have this kind of a miracle situated in America in some of these places where you have such hatred and filth.
Yeah, that's right.
But if you really want the Lord, you can find him. You can call out to him. But see, this division in this country is here because we have rejected the truth. The love of the truth, the gospel, the Lord. Now, let's
that's
go to
Vietnam. That's exciting. I'm glad to see that.
Yeah, that's a good one. There is a house church in Vietnam, Montanard. And more than 20 search scores gathered at the home of a Christian leader. And then 13 officials from a local commune or community entered the home as they were praying. And, of course, the officials asked the members to stop their religious activities and leave. The group refused and responded by saying that if any action were to be taken, it must be after their service. The officials could not enter and only stood at the door until the group finished, and then demanded that the pastor, Amma Sim, be taken to their office for investigation. The church refused, worrying that he might disappear. They'll never find him, and this does happen. The officials threatened him, saying, "We are giving you a warning this time, but next Sunday, if you still gather, we'll bring more crowds to shut you down." The church is asking for a prayer for the Ed Border Evangelical Group in this place in Vietnam. The communist government there is nervous about large gathering of people for fear of subversive activities. And many religious gatherings fall victim to this suspicions, with believers often attacked, detained, or imprisoned on trumped-up charges. And these particular Christians, the Montagnard Christians, have long faced persecution and discrimination for their ethnicity Christian faith. And they also had a role of fighting alongside the U.S. during the Vietnam War. But Vietnam is, of course, over in Asia, and you'll find a lot of this kind of persecution over in this area. And, you know, that's one thing in America, you know, we don't have to worry about. We have it. Not yet. You know, we're not there yet. Right now, there's still a lot of resources flowing from people in this country to help others out. But if you continue to be divided the way you are and seeking another God, this country is not going to stand. Now, of course, having said that, we do not want a theocracy. The constitutional republic, which our nation was founded upon, guarantees a certain civility and freedom. But today, we have nothing but a bunch of spoiled brats graduating from our universities. We have educators at the highest level, professors who are babies, who have their own agendas, which is usually anti-American, anti-democracy, anti-freedom, anti-Christ. We've reported on this for years. Now, you may not care. If you don't care about your brothers and sisters, fine. And if you don't care about America, fine. But if you think the answer is just the Republicans or just the Democrats, you're wrong. Now see, this election is about Republicans and Democrats. And the Democrats today, their party is pushing socialism. Along with, they're the ones that have talked about the hatred and have backed Antifa and have been violent. And ever since Trump got in, we've seen Hollywood and their display of horrendous Trump hate, depicting him in so many ways. Mockery. You'd have never put up with that with Obama.
Oh, no. Never.
And so
he would have been throwing people in prison right and left.
So the judgment's coming. And you need to wake up. And who am I to tell you this? I'm the watchman. I was a watchman before being a watchman was cool. I had websites up, and I was doing this on the internet before 90-some percent of the people that are out there now. I have a right. I have a calling. And I'm telling you, flat out, you need to repent, and this country needs to repent.
Amen.
It is not going to last. But I do pray, God, in your judgment, remember mercy. Now, we don't deserve mercy, but I ask for it. But we do need to stop our foolishness. We need to chuck that pride and humble ourselves before the Lord God. Because you're going to regret when you do not. Now, South Darfur. Of course, this is Sudan. And I remember many, many, many years ago, I woke up one morning before I ever got going. And the Lord spoke to me and told me that I had to focus on Sudan. I need to pray for it. And Sudan, for as long as I can remember since that time, has always been in the news for major trouble, persecution of Christians. Remember when they had the war going on there and they were bombing the villages?
Yeah.
And the kids were getting killed and slaughtered? Or in the camps that they tried to keep down there and these Muslim terrorists would come up and shoot into the camps?
Yeah. Oh, that's horrible.
There was no escape. Well, in this one, about a dozen Christian men were arrested by their security services, which is the way it goes in a lot of these countries, especially if you're where you shouldn't be, and they were mingling with the local Muslim community. And the young men were interacting with Islam adherents, building rapport for witnessing. So the security officers surrounded them and led them to police station handcuffed. Now you see, the conflict between Arab Muslims and Christians is what led to the secession of South Sudan in 2011. Now, you see, these other Christians being taken into custody didn't even know what was going on. Now, of course, Sudan is one of those that guarantees freedom of worship and sharing of one faith. But we find the same thing guaranteed in a lot of Muslim nations, and it doesn't work that way. Invariably, the Muslims are thrown, the Christians are thrown in prison.
Yeah, that's so tragic.
And some of the men that were arrested were actually new converts from a baptismal and in a time when they had come to the Lord in 2015. They left Islam and converted to Christianity. So they were sharing from their Muslim background to other Muslims why they came to Christianity. It's one of the best ways to explain to Muslims, you know, about why you did what you did.
That's right.
And see, the devil works overtime because he doesn't want you talking in that way to someone who might get saved. See, this is what the battle worldwide is about. Redemption or hell. I know you don't like to hear that, but it's black and white. Redemption or hell. Redemption or hell.
True.
And it's free. Now, of course, when you do accept him, it'll cost you everything you have. But it is free. Because you just don't act the part. See, the Lord said that his disciples are those that not only hear or read the Word of God, but they also keep it. So when you get in the Word of God and you read it and you keep it and you practice it, then you're his disciples. See, there's a flow here. And the Lord said, "Go ye." And these men were just talking to other Muslims. And we are seeing a lot of fruit from these overseas. And these people are paying. It's costing. It's costing these people their lives, thrown in prison, get beaten up, killed. Their families are threatened and killed. Yeah, it's tough. And that's why whenever we're talking about these, we don't, most of the time, the names are other names. And the pictures, we don't want any pictures of them. Because in today's internet, the Muslims simply look it up, they read the story, they see who it is, they go kill him. That is the way it works today. And so, America, while you're playing your games, some of you need to get serious. And I know this thing in America is serious. And of course, where are we at now? We got something we're running. You know what I'm thinking about doing here?
What's that?
You've got another one down there. This is about the Vatican's anti-Christian persecution, the topic there. We ought to do that one here because I want to make sure we get that one.
Okay.
So you go ahead and do that one, and then I will work on the Egyptian one.
Okay. Two most sustained ovations so far have been for an Iraqi youth and an Indian archbishop. This is a from the veteran Vatican analyst, John Allen, both of whom recounted direct stories of suffering and persecution on account of their faith in the 21st century. In his address to Synod members, is that how you say that? Synod? Synod?
Yeah.
Salfa, I'm not sure of the name.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
A Chaldean Catholic from Baghdad narrated the suffering of Iraqi Christians at the hands of Islamic militants and received what was described as the most sustained applause of any speaker so far. A number of the priests and other Christians have shed their blood in church to witness to Jesus. They refuse to leave in spite of a lot of threats. We've had a lot of priests kidnapped. And Father Basil Yalda is now a bishop. He was kidnapped for a long time, but he was steadfast in his faith. He did not fear because God knows what he's doing. We just have to be faithful, strong, and stay in our place to reflect on the image of Jesus, he said. In Iraq, they've always say that Christian people don't lie, are good people, and this is something important. When reflecting on the image of Jesus, we are a faithful group, peaceful group, faithful group. This man later elaborated that the physical violence is terrible, but it is not the only form of persecution at play. It's very important to pay attention that there is not only persecution by killing, there is persecution by psychology, by feelings. You feel that you are alone, that you are not supported. The second chronicle of anti-Christian persecution was related by Indian Archbishop John Barwa, who described a brutal anti-Christian massacre carried out in the district of Kandahamel in 2008, leaving more than 100 people dead. He recounted the story of Rashis, a young Catist, who was executed by a mob of Hindu fundamentalists on August 26, 2008. The throng buried him in mud up to his neck, urging him to convert. One man held a stone over his head, demanding that he renounce Jesus Christ. He closed his eyes, looked up at him, and said, "No," and the man dumped the stone on his head. He silently gave witness of the God of life, and this is the only one story. There are so many powerful stories of faith. Barwa told Crux that his own niece, a Catholic nun, had been gang-raped during the same 2008 outbreak on anti-Christian violence. Worldwide, over 2 million Christians face severe persecution, and Christians make up some 75% of all those targeted.
200 million.
What did I say?
2 million.
Oh, 200 million. Sorry. and Christians make up 75% of all those targeted for harassment and persecution because of their faith. Wow, that's just astronomical. According to Open Doors, a Christian watchdog group, in 2017, as many as 215 million Christians experienced high levels of persecution in the 50 countries on the World Watch List, with the majority of them in North Korea, considered the worst place for Christians for 16 consecutive years. In terms of the number of people involved, the gravity of the crimes committed, and their impact, it is clear that the persecution of Christians is today worse than at any time in history. I can believe that.
Now, the important thing of it is, when I was covering during the 2014-2015 double blood moons that happened during the spring and fall feasts, the bloodshed, and of course we saw that double blood moon as a sign, and it was the time that ISIS moved through the Middle East, and we covered that. I was doing this every day. And many times we had a number of our, for the month, our Twitter was among the top 10 hottest feeds that Twitter had at the time. But the thing of it is that the most important thing that you need to understand here, whether they're Catholic or Protestant, the important thing is Jesus Christ. Now, I've known Catholics that know the Lord. And, of course, growing up in the time of the Charismatic movement, I was in the Assembly of God. We knew a lot of them. And so there is this problem with some of their doctrine. But I got news for you here. The Lord gets down to basics. And if you're out there in Syria or Iraq or even parts of Libya where ISIS was found, excuse me, there's only one thing that's on their mind. And that's Jesus.
That's right.
Period.
Amen.
They don't care if you're a Catholic. They don't care what you think you are. All they care is, are you going to become a Muslim like them? And I read many, many stories of the Chaldean, the Assyrian Christians. And, of course, we have the church in Syria, for instance, goes clear back to the time of the apostles. And so we're talking ancient here. We're talking a line of Christianity that goes back to the first church. And right now in Syria and in Iraq, there is a lot of the Assyrians and the Chaldeans who are no longer there anymore. They're gone.
That's really sad.
And they didn't care who you were. And we covered things that are horrendous that they did. Horrendous. Unspeakable. And of course, ISIS did that on purpose. Straight out of the pit of hell. And they killed, and I saw the video of an innocent priest. Yeah, he was a priest. He was Catholic. What did that matter? The guy's given his life. Are you that hard that you don't even understand it's a human being? And he didn't die for his mother church. He died because of Christ. Now, you see, no matter what you are, if you call on our God and Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, the enemy hates you. And the Lord commanded us to love one another. And see, while I talk about the division in America, there's a division in the church. I know. And some of the stuff we have in our churches today isn't even close. There's two Christianities. There's the one in America and some of the comfortable West, and then there's the one in the real world. This represents the real world today. The real world. Now, we are Warn Radio. And we are an advocate for the persecuted church. That means we connect you to the stories and urge you to support those ministries that are on the line that help or can do things. Like, for instance, most of these churches, church ministries like Samaritan's Purse and all these others, ICC and others, they don't have the sources like the ACLJ do, which is a voluntary organization, J Seculo, and all they work entirely on donations from believers and others who will help them stand up and advocate for Christians and others worldwide. He's a Christian. So we need people like that, that knows how to fight, knows how to get the word out, knows how to stand up legally around the world, before the UN, and even in our own country. He's fighting. Their lawyers are fighting the deep state. It's important for you to understand. So you can go on over to our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. You'll find our articles, you'll find the shows, and links to a lot of the others. We have an extensive network that this goes out on, and it goes on a lot of different podcasts and outlets, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Blueberry, Spreaker, and many others. So this message can get around the world. Share our articles, our newsletters on your feed. Get the word around to visit our websites at warren-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Share the articles, read them. And also have some books that detail some end of time stuff, Incognito and Steal the Darkness. Buy those books and tell your neighbors about them. Read them. Leave a comment on Amazon. We need your help to keep the word going out. We help these. And I want you to stand up. And if you're already doing it, that's fine. But tell your other brothers and sisters. Make sure they're helping somebody that is really helping them. And I mean with doctors, with all the things you need overseas. And of course, Samaritan's Purse not only helps overseas, it helps here. And they're not the only one. There's a lot of them out there. We have a list. Go to our website, warren-usa.com. Get on the contact feed if you ever want to contact us. Don't contact me through all the social sites. You will never get an answer. If you want to talk to us, if you want something from us, you get over to our websites on our contact form and send it to us. I'm the Watchman, Dana G. Smith. And the Lord's in charge, no matter how bad it is. Okay, Tower.
What?
Do you got anything to say besides what?
No. I think you said it all. I'm glad that we can advocate for our brothers and sisters around the world. You don't know how horrible it is for them until you hear these stories. But there's also major victories going on as well.
That's right. There is. And that's another reason we want to help and keep involved.
Amen.
So at any rate, we're going to have to get out of here.
Is it already time to go?
Yes, it is.
Well, thank you everybody for joining us. Please remember to pray for your brothers and sisters around the world. They need you. We love you. We pray for you. Thank you for all you do for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, for our God. God bless you richly. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on Warn Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.